Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos is daf Ayin Hey. We're a little bit behind. We're a $9 mitzvah. And we continue where we left off yesterday. We are going through the Malachas of Shabbos, so we're going to go through them quickly. As right now, we are ending the seventh parak of Shabbos. Between today and tomorrow, we finish up the Gemara's quick description of what are the 39 malachas. As we know, as a generality, the 39 malachas of Shabbos correspond to activities that are involved in the construction of the Mishkan. At least that's how our Gemara presents it. That's how Rashi presents it time and again. So any one of these activities which are required for the construction, not the operation, but the construction of the Mishkan, is going to qualify as a malacha. We are working our way away past the first 11 malachas of Shabbos. The first 11 are what's called Sidur Depas, the order of the bread, the 11 activities that are required in terms of making bread, starting from planting, working its way all the way up to Bishul, up to cooking. The Mishnah doesn't use the word Bishul, the Mishnah uses the word Ofer, Afia. And the Gemara asked the question yesterday, well, why does the Mishnah use the word Afia? Why not use the word Bishul? Bishul is more germane to the discussion of dyes and which is really the purpose of what we are accomplishing over here. We need to dye all the curtains, all the ureos of the Mishkan. So why does the Mishnah use the word ofes? So that's a good question. The Gemara says sidur depas nakat, because we're in the process of describing bread making. So therefore, we go through afia and not bishul. But the truth of the matter is, as we all know, the malacha on Shabbos is both afia and it's bishul. It's cooking and it's baking as well. Good. That is what we discussed yesterday. An interesting discussion I brought out yesterday. What is the definition? What's the very definition of Bishul? So I showed you Rashi at the end of yesterday's daf, where Rashi basically says Bishul is taking something hard and making it soft. Now, why does Rashi say that? Because pretty much the Gemara says that. Meaning the Gemara says that you take a wooden peg, and you put it in the oven, so it's going to stiffen the peg because it's going to basically remove all the excess liquid and moisture within the peg, and you're going to harden the peg. So the Gemara says, so you're going to be chayv on bishul. To which the Gemara says, wait a second, you didn't. What did you do over there? You didn't really soften the peg. So the Gemara says, well, the first couple of moments when that when the wooden peg is in the oven, so it gets soft and then it gets hard. So there is a moment where it actually softens while it's in the oven, and the Gemara says for that you're chayv on bishul. So it sounds from the Gemara that the definition of bishul is softening something which is hard. I pointed out yesterday the Rambam writes very clearly the definition bishul can go either way, where you take a food which is hard and by cooking it you soften it, by taking a food which is soft and by cooking it you harden it. So the so the Rambam goes both directions. I pointed out yesterday think of a very simple example and you realize why the Rambam says what he does. In other words, the boiling of an egg. You take an egg which is obviously soft, it's not just soft, it's liquidy, and by boiling it now you make it hard, so that's also an act of cooking. In fact, we saw that earlier in the Masechta, that's an act of cooking. So I understand why the Rambam says it. How's the Rambam going to learn a Gemara? That's not my question. Many have asked that question before me. Okay, that would obviously require its own discussion. We're going on in the Gemara. Amar Rava Barav Huna. Okay, we're $9 mud bays. We are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The first word in the line is Rafi Vahadur Kamit. And now we are continuing. Amar Rava Barav Huna. Aiman Di Irtach Kufra. Okay, melting tar, melting pitch on Shabbat Chai Mishum Mavasha. That's Bishul. Okay, so pitch is a hard substance, and by boiling it, right, you ever pass those trucks as they're boiling the pitch? It smells wonderful. Just excellent. So if you do that on Shabbos, you're chai, that's bishul. So we already saw this yesterday, meaning bishul doesn't have to be a food. Bishul can even be non-food items as well. So pshita ma'u detema kevan dahad v'ikushe emalau. So the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Meaning, very happy to hear this, but like everything, we need a chiddush. We need to have learned something new. So the Gemara says, what we learned new here is that you know what's going to happen with the pitch. After you cook the pitch and you stop cooking it, so it's going to get hard again. So the chiddush is that even though you know it's going to get hard again, nevertheless, while you are melting it, that's an act of bishul. Kamash malan. Amarav ahayman David chadita. If you make a barrel on Shabbos, now this is going to be made out of earthenware. So right, chavita shocher says Rashi. You're making clay, earthenware. So chay mishum shevach hatar. So by constructing the barrel, So you're going to be chayv on seven chataos. Okay, quick look at Rashi. Rashi goes through all seven. Tochin haregavim v'shochem hadek havitochin. So first of all, you got to take the clod of earth and you got to grind it up so that you have something to work with. So that's the an act of tochin, of grinding. Two says Rashi habarut storus hagasus mitochin harishtayim. In other words, even after I grind up, there's still going to be these large clods of earth that I don't need. So I'm going to extract that from my little mixture over here that's called borer. Three says Rashi amarkina manafa. Now I sift it in a sifter. Okay, that's marakade. Four continues Rashi. Now I have the earth, and I'm going to now mix it together with water, and I'm going to knead it together. So that's the malach of lush, of lisha. Five, memarech, atikish, oseh, hagolam, shei, chalak, hare, memachek. I got to smooth it out. So smooth it out is an act of memachek. That's the our fifth malacha. Rashi continues. Hamavir isar or bekivshan. You got to stoke the fire. In other words, you got to put it into the furnace. So that is the malacha of mavir. That's seven. I'm sorry, that's six. Seven says Rashi mitzarif betoch hare mevashal. And then what do? I'm mitzarif. I put the earthenware inside the oven in order so that it cook. So chiyuv dechofer leka deina sarcha la afra. Now, Rashi sidesteps a couple of malachas that you might have thought. First of all, if I have to take earth out of the ground, am I not unearthing? And isn't unearthing the malacha of chofer, of plowing? So the Gemara says, Rashi says, no, that's not. It's not a malacha. It's not an isser d'oraisa. Why not? So Rashi says, because when you dig the dirt from the ground, only because you need the dirt, that's a classic example of a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. And so therefore you wouldn't be chayv on that malacha. And presumably, I'll add to Rashi that you have to say that we're going like Rabbi Shimon, and not like Rabbi Huda. According to Rabbi Huda, you'd be chayv number eight as well. Okay, so that is the those are the eight malachas. Can we not add another malacha as well? Well, let's go on the Gemara, and then we'll come back to Rashi. Good. That's the seven malachas of making a earthenware jug on Shabbos. Now, what if I make an oven? So, if I make an oven, so I'm going to be chayv not seven, but rather eight. Okay. Where do we jump from seven to eight? So, again, I'm going to go back to Rashi, and Rashi writes, "The la'achar shetzafa bekivshan hu tachalav tfeila she'av v'chomim miskayim v'hu gemar malacha v'amin l'kamen komida da'avi gemar malacha chayv v'shemaka bepatish." Okay. By making the oven, so Rashi says that now you're putting the final hammer blow, not literally but figuratively, you're putting the final hammer blow on the oven, and so therefore you're going to be chayv an eighth chatas for making an oven. Meaning, an oven and a jug are basically the same thing. I'm making an earthenware utensil, but with a jug it's a utensil, it's just a kli. But with an oven's more than a kli. And so therefore you be chayv makeh bepatish on the oven. So the obvious question, which Rashi now is going to deal with, is why aren't you chayv makeh bepatish on the jug? Meaning if I have not made a jug, isn't that also makeh bepatish? So makeh bepatish, says Rashi, by the jug. Well, no, says Rashi, because that happens on its own. Okay, unclear, not particularly sure what Rashi means by that, meaning there's nothing that you need to do per se in order to finish the act of the jug, just by simply putting the jug into the furnace, so therefore it happens on its own, and you're not doing an active action of makeh bepatish. Presumably that's what Rashi means. Okay, it's challenging to understand the difference between the jug and the oven. But the Gemara says there's a difference. Haiman da'avid chalta. Now, putting together a wicker basket, okay, which would require a little bit of weaving. So, chayv achas asrei chatos, you're going to be chayv 11 chatos on Shabbos for putting together a wicker basket. Okay, let's go through it inside. It's good ideas to know. So, Rashi goes through all 11 malachas. I'm going through Rashi now. Chayv yudal zomer akanim v'hutzarach lahem chayv mishom kotzer. So first of all, you need the reeds. So you got to harvest the reeds. So you got to cut the reeds from the ground. So that's the act of kotzer. Umishim noteya. And let's add to that, says Rashi, that also I want to promote the growth of the reeds while I'm harvesting them. In other words, the portion of the reeds that are still left in the ground. So that's also planting as well. Aspas Yachad Harizah Ma'amer. Now I'm collecting together. That's the Malach of Ma'amer. Bir Yafas Harizah Borer. Now I'm going to choose a good one, says Rashi. That's the Malach of Borer. Hechlikin Harizah Ma'amachig. Now I've got to smooth out the reeds because I'm going to make a wicker basket out of it. I don't want any splinters. So I'm going to smooth out every reed. That's the Malach of Ma'amachig. Asan Dakos Me'achas. Shtaim Oshalosh Harizah Tochein. I'm going to cut them into smaller pieces, so that's the malacha of tochein, right? We talked about this yesterday, how if I take something and I cut it into small pieces, malacha of tochein. Chacham b'midar is a mechatech. Now I'm precise about the measurement to what I cut it down to, so that's the malacha of mechatech. Hisech ha-shesiyar is a mesach. Now we get to the loom, right? In other words, because we're weaving the basket, so there's processes of the weaving. So there's Mesach, Arag, Achas, Amalav, Achas, Amata, Kedela, Amido, Harios, Shnei Batinirin. Okay, the Shnei Batinirin, which quite honestly, you got to see a picture of it if you want to really understand it. Okay, but anyway, it's setting up, it's more about setting up the weave. Arag, Harizah, Oreg, and then you actually weave. That's the Malach of weaving. Achatachla, Achar, Arigasa, Kedela, Shasam, Harizah, Maka, Bepatish. And finally, when you finish weaving the basket, so there are a couple of strands that are sticking out, so I clip it so that it's a nice even basket. That's makeh bepatish. Okay, and that is very quickly how we got to 11 malachos for making your basket on Shabbos. V'ichayte lepume chayishalosh tesrei chatos. Now, after making the basket, then I stitch up the top of the basket. So basically, I make a rim around the edge of the basket. So then you are going to add tofer and kosher. Means stitching, and kshira is tying the knots after I stitched. Okay, and so those are going to be two more malachas. Okay, now, Rashi over here addresses the following issue. Good, now we've gone through making our jug, 7 malachas, making our oven, 8 malachas, making a wicker basket, 11 malachas, and making a wicker basket with a rim around the top, so that's 13 malachas. So far, so good. Rashi says, what about the malacha of bona? Am I not building? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, that's not counted. Why not? And let me find the Rashi. It's here. Here we go. It's a Rashi, ichayte lepume, if I stitch up the rim. And Rashi writes, lasoslo safa hosif kantofer v'kosher shetaruch likshol achar hatfir mishum bona leka lichiyuva lo bechavosh v'lo betanav v'lo bekaveris. So Rashi says, don't give me the malacha of bona. Why not? The ein binyan b'kelim. Because, says Rashi, there's no building when it comes to kelim. Meaning, as a general rule, building, the malacha of building, is only when I make a structure that is coming on the ground. Otherwise known as like a house, or like an apartment building, or any building for that matter, that's on the ground. That's binyan. But when I make a kli, when I build the kli, so vis-a-vis the malach of bona, that's not bona because there's no binyan bona comes to kelim. Okay, please see on this point of Rashi, please see Tosas over here. Tosas chavita v'tanura v'chalta, where Tosas objects to Rashi, and see the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. We're going to go on in the Gemara. Hagozes at semra malavno. Okay, we're up to the malacha of gozes. Shearing the sheep. Amar Rav Abba Bar Chana Amar Rav Yochanan Tovet Semer Sha'al Gabe Behema B'Shabbos. If I spin the wool while it's still on the animal, in other words, that's not normal. What you normally do is you shear, and then once you have the wool shearing, so then you start processing and manufacturing the wool. So here the Gemara is talking about now where I'm spinning it while it's still on the sheep. So chayv shalosh chatos. So you're going to be chayv 3 chatos. Achas mishim gozes, v'achas mishim menafetz, v'achas mishim tove. So the 3 acts of processing, right? In other words, gozes, because eventually, of course, you're going to cut it off the sheep. Also, you're combing. Also, you're spinning. So av kahana amar ein derech gezizah bekach, v'ein derech menafetz bekach, v'ein derech tzviyah bekach. So Rav Kahana says no, no, and no. Meaning this is not normal. And as we know, anytime you do a malacha in an abnormal fashion, you are not chayiv a carbon chatas. It's a shinui. And so therefore, Rav Kahana will tell you, no, you're not going to be chayiv. V'lo v'atanya mishmeid Rav Nechem yishatov b'izim v'tavah b'izim. Amatvia Gabe Behema Shmatvia. So the Gemara says, and we're going to see this Gemara later on in our Masechta, that when the women in the Mishkan were spinning the wool, they did so while the wool was still on the sheep. So you're telling me that it's not normal. And by the way, we learn all the malachas from the Binyan HaMishkan. And meanwhile, the women over there actually spun the wool while it was on the sheep. So the Gemara says, Chachma Yisera Shani. The Gemara says, no, those women were particularly bright. They had a skill that most people do not have. The Gemara refers to it as Chachma Yisera. And so therefore, they're outliers. And because they are outliers, they don't represent what is normal behavior. And it is fascinating because even though they are outliers of Binyan HaMishkan, but still, in other words, when it comes to the definition of a malacha, we look at what is the normal process that's done. And so therefore, most people will spin their wool and comb their wool only after it's been sheared off the animal. So therefore, this does not represent normal behavior, even though this was the way it was done in the Mishkan. Tanu Rabbanan, Hatole Shesekanaf HaKomtova HaMarto. I take a feather, I pull it right off the bird, and then I pluck off the, I take the feathers off the feather, and Marto, and I smooth down the sides. So Chayv Shalosh Chatos, you're going to be Chayv for three Chatos. So Rabbi Shimon Malakish Tolish Chayv Mishim Gozes. So the Gemara goes through each one of them. In other words, when I pluck it off the bird, that's the malacha of gozes. Okay? It's like shearing a sheep, if you will. Kotem chayv mishum mechatech. When I cut to a particular size, so that's mechatech. And memart, when I smooth off the edges of the quill, so that's the malacha of memachek. Okay. Hakosher v'amatir. We're up to now the next two malachas of Shabbos, and that's kosher matir, tying and untying. We will spend a perek dedicated to the topic of tying and untying. So in other words, we're not going to get into any real detail regarding these two malachas. Right now the Gemara just has a very simple question. Where did this happen in the Mishkan? Where in the construction of the Mishkan is there tying and untying? So Kshir b'Mishkan Hecha Avai. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, look, because we had the Yesedos, we had the pillars of the Ohel HaMishkan, we tie the Urios to the pillars. And so how do you tie the Uriah to the pillar? Through an act of tying and making a knot. So the Gemara says, interesting, how kosher amnas lahatihu. Yeah, but you know, look, we're in the Mishkan. We're traveling. We're tying, but we're also going to untie. So you mean to tell me that the definition of a knot on Shabbos is something which I plan to tie, but I also plan to untie? Meaning, the Gemara is basically asking, that if I make a permanent knot, you mean to tell me that's not a malacha? And as we're going to learn later on the Masechta, 13th parak, 14th parak, somewhere around there, that one of the very definitions of making a knot is something which is permanent. So the Gemara says it can't be that the tying of the curtains to the asedos, that's the reason why we have a malacha called kosher. Elamar Abay Shekein Arena Yerio Shenifziku Lahen Nima Kosher Nostam. So the Gemara says, well, you know, you have a lot of curtains. The curtains are made up of a lot of thread. And what happens is if there's a snap in the thread and I need to tie it together, so I'm going to make a knot. So that's where you have kosher in the construction of the Mishkan. So Amalei Rav Atarats the kosher matir ma'ika l'meimar, good. So that's the malach of kosher. What about the malach of matir? V'chite medim esram alei treichut kasher b'hadeh hadadeh shari chad v'kater chad. So the Gemara says, well, sometimes, let's say I have two strings that are right next to, or side by side one another. And there are, and they both require knotting. Well, what I'm going to do is, I don't want to knot them side by side one another. So I'm going to untie one and I'm going to tie the other. Now, I know I didn't explain this well, and I know I'm not particularly clear about this. It's not exactly clear to me what the Gemara means by this two knots that are right next to one another. Okay, you could see. You could see Rashi for an attempted description of this, and certainly you could see Tosfos doesn't seem to work with Rashi. But anyway, so Hashal Fidei Malchmas of Adami Now Some Kinyan Fidei Malchmachay Amlachim Mekosh Baruch Hu Osin. But the Gemara says, look, in other words, we're talking about the Mishkan, and we're talking about the snapping of threads. we're not going to just simply tie and untie these threads, meaning we wouldn't do that for a king, we wouldn't do that for a Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. Gemara is basically saying it can't be that for the possible breakage of a thread in the Yiras HaMishkan, and because we're going to tie it, and sometimes we're going to have to untie, and sometimes we're going to tie it, because of all of that we have a Malach of Kosher and Matir. In other words, it has to be something which is more fundamental. It has to be something where, basically, we need to tie on Shabbos. Not maybe because it broke. So, Alam Arava, Vitem Rabbi Elisha, came see the Chalaz and Kosher na Matirin. So the Gemara says, when we trap the chilazon is one of those animals that we need for its dye, right? It produces the tcheles. We'll see more of that later this morning. So when we trap the chilazon, so we make nets. So how do you make nets? You tie and you untie. So in other words, for the nets for trapping the chilazon, so therefore we need to tie and untie. And that is not something which is just haphazard. We need to tie, we need to untie, and so therefore, that's how we get to the malacha of kosher and matir. HaTofer Sheitfiros V'Halo Kaimeh, the Gemara says, now, making two stitches is a malacha. So says the Mishnah. The Gemara is bothered by the fact that it's not permanent. And there's an underlying assumption of the Gemara that in order for a malacha to be a malacha, it has to be a permanent act. So Amar Rabba Babachan and Rav Yochan V'Hushe Kashran. So the Gemara says, okay, point taken. After you make your two stitches, what do? You tie a knot so that the two stitches hold. Good. That's also part of the definition of the malacha. HaKorei HaMenas Lit, for now making a hole. Tearing, I should say. I'm not making a hole. Tearing is a malacha. And the Gemara wants to know, well, why should tearing be a malacha? Kriya b'mishkan mihave. Meaning, tofer, stitching, we understand. But tearing, where does tearing come up within the Mishkan? So, Rabba Rav Zera Dami Tavayu Shekin Yirish Enafa Bal Darna Koren Ba V'Tofren Ba. Well, let's say we had a curtain in the Mishkan where it got a worm hole in it, and by the way, Rashi describes it now. The hole now is round, and I want to stitch, but I'm going to stitch a round hole. Well, that's going to be very difficult. It won't be an even stitch. So, what you're going to want to do now is you're going to want to tear material in both directions of the round hole, so now that when I stitch it up, the round hole will be less noticeable. It'll be inconspicuous. So the Gemara says, for that, there's going to be the act of korea, so that the stitching would be a smoother stitching. So, shekein yirish enafa ba'darna korin ba'vitofen osam. Okay, that is why there's kriya. It's interesting because the Gemara previously talked about, well, where are we going to have tying and untying? And the Gemara says, well, maybe some strings will snap. And the Gemara says, oh, that's not a fundamental need of tying and untying. And can be that that's the reason why there's a malach of tying and untying. And meanwhile, over here, the Gemara asks about Kriya. And the Gemara says, well, you know, maybe there's going to be a hole in the Mishkan and I'm going to need to tear. So it's funny, the Gemara earlier dismissed the idea of, well, maybe this will happen. And over here, the Gemara is entertaining the idea of, because of the possibility, so therefore there's this malacha called korea. Okay, I just raise that as a curiosity. Amar of Zutra Bartovia Amar Rav Ham Moseh Chut Shel Tfir B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. Pulling a string, you're going to be chayiv. You know, like it happens in my suits, okay, which tells you the quality of suits I buy. But you know, sometimes like at the edge, like it starts to get loose, and so you can actually see the stitching, and there's a string over there, and you pull on the string, and so that the two pieces of garment now come back together again. So I'm not stitching, I'm just pulling on the string, which is bringing it closer together, and to that the Gemara says, that's a malacha. So you got to be careful, you know, you see that string, you'll be tempted to pull on that string in order to get the seams closer to one another. The Gemara says that's a malacha. That's called Hamoseh Chut Shel Tfira B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. Now the way I just described the Gemara is the way Rashi describes the Gemara. Please take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam does not describe the Gemara the same way Rashi does. Okay. Halome Davar Echa Min HaMagush. Now if you learn something from a magush, this is one of those words in the Gemara where the word we use in English is almost identical to the word that's used in the Gemara. Magush, you know what that is? A magician. A magician is a magush. Maybe, by the way, I'm saying it so definitively, you'll see that may not be so. But anyway, Halama davar min hamagosha. If you learn something from the magician, chayiv misa, you'll be chayiv misa. V'hayodeh l'chashet tkufos mazal v'ein hachoshev asol l'sapra heimenu. Now, let's say you have somebody who's really bright and really smart, and he knows how to work out the calendar. Okay? How do we work out the calendar? It's very simple. We purchase for ourselves a calendar, and we look at the calendar. Oh, okay, fine, I see. This year we only had one day of Rosh Chodesh for Teves. Okay, good. No big deal. This year was just a one day Rosh Chodesh. You know, Teves fluctuates. Teves, some years it's one day, some years it's 2 days. Okay? It's only a couple months where there's fluctuation of whether it's a one day Rosh Chodesh or a 2 day Rosh Chodesh. But, you know that really the aligning of the solar year and the lunar year takes a little bit of math and a little bit of math prowess. So the Gemara says that if somebody has the ability, has the cognitive ability, to know how to calculate and to intercalate the year, so and he doesn't, meaning right, not meaning his potential. So asol l'sapra himenu. So basically, because he is wasting his potential, the Gemara says, don't talk to him. Okay, don't. Right, don't hang out with him. Now, there are three things that are said over by Rav. One was a halacha vis-a-vis Shabbos, pulling on the thread in order to bring the seams together, which obviously is relevant to our discussion of tefira, of stitching. And then two other statements which really have nothing to do with Hilcha Shabbos. It's just, I guess these statements were said together, and so the Gemara presented these other two statements. One of them is, don't learn anything from a magusha. And if you do, your chayiv misa. Now, magushta Rav Shmuel Chanamar, Now, what is a magushta? So the Gemara says it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and the Gemara, is, without giving attribution of who said what, one says that a magushta is a charshe, which is a magician, which fits in with the word magusha, and the other one says, no, it's a gedufe, someone who blasphemes the Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning Rashi describes him as being a min, like a real heretic, a real religious heretic. Ha'aduk ba'avodah zara megadif tamis Hashem. He's so clinging to avodah zara that he often blasphemes the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And because he's such a religious heretic, so not only is he himself drinking the avodah zara Kool-Aid, but he's trying to get others to do so as well. Now, so these are two possibilities of what a magusha is. Now, it's this time to Rav D'Amar Gedufe. Now, it seems that Rav is the one who says, because we weren't told which Amora said which definition, the Gemara now notes that it seems like Rav is holding that's a gedufe. Why? Because go back to what we learned on the top of the Amud. Amar Azusha Bartuvi Amar Avalami Davar Chamina Magush Chayv Misa. Well, if you learn one thing from a Magusha, you're going to be Chayv Misa. Now, Isa Gedacha Charshe, the Gemara presents its argument. If you think that what Rav was talking about was a magician, Haksiv, is it really usher to learn magic? Now, we're talking about learning magic. Now, to perform and practice magic, that you're not allowed to do. What about magic shows? You'll speak to your local Orthodox rabbi, who will guide you in terms of whether or not you can hire that magician for your next for your next event. But in the meantime, however, to learn magic, that's fine. Haksiv lo salami la so savata lami la bin la ros. In other words, we're not allowed to learn magic to practice magic, but to be knowledgeable about magic. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes over there, why would you want to learn about magic? Well, first of all, as a member of the Sanhedrin, you got to know, was he actually practicing magic or not? So you have to be fluent in magic. You can't practice it, that's an Isser in the Torah, but you got to know it. So to learn magic, there's no Isser in learning magic. So when Rav says that you go to the Magush, and you're learning something from the Magush, and you're Chayiv Misa, can't be talking about the magician. So the Gemara says, "Tis time." You're right. So what Rav was talking about when he said the Magush, even though earlier I described it as being the magician, the Gemara says, no. Not at least according to Rav. According to Rav, the Magush that we're talking about over here is the Gadif, the Min, the heretic. Meaning if you have somebody who's a religious heretic, so do not spend time with him, do not learn anything from him, you would be Chayiv Misa. Now,
through that, Shmuel and Rav were backwards. Is that what it's saying?
No, the Gemara is just simply giving attribution. Okay, and now that we arrived at this pshat, now what's the actual chi of Misa? I asked this question without knowing the answer. Right, what's the actual chi of Misa? Meaning, if it was practicing magic, so that we kind of understand that's practicing magic. But now, we're not saying that now. We're saying that you spend time with a muggish and you learn anything from a muggish, you're going to be chayiv Misa. What exactly was the capital offense that you did when you learned from the heretic? I understand not spending time with him. I understand not learning from him. But chi of Misa? What's the chi of Misa? Okay, so if you have a suggestion, I'm certainly open. Well, yeah, the Gemara. Again, that was the Gemara assuming that you're correct. Meaning the Gemara was saying that's fine, learning magic is fine. So the Gemara therefore says that Rav must be of the opinion that the Magusha that we're discussing is not a magician, but rather somebody who's a blasphemer, right? In other words, is a religious heretic, and therefore he blasphemes God all the time. So I'm just wondering out loud. These I'm just showing my ignorance. I don't know what the Gemara means when it says Yechayiv Misa. What's the chi of Misa by learning something from a heretic? Okay, so
maybe since the guy's a magician, he doesn't believe in Hashem. He believes in his own powers, the creator, and like maybe
good. But you're Chayiv Misa for learning something from him.
Well, maybe it's a form of Azar. If you believe in his magical powers, then you kind of like
okay, but. You got. In other words, we're learning Gemara now. There's got to be something on the books. Okay. Okay. I'm Rabbi Shimon Mepazi. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Mishum Barakapar Kol Yedela Hashev. I'm sorry. Lachashev Tekufos Amazalos Veinachoshev Allah Vakasav Omer Vespol Hashem Lo Yabitu Masa Yadav Lo Ra'u. Okay. You have an opportunity. You have the cognitive ability to know how to work the calendar. Okay, you want on another occasion, not now, not during the daf, right? I know a little bit, like just a little bit, in terms of the molad and how the molad works, and you want to know more. The Rambam goes through it at length, really at length, and at the end of Zmanim. But anyway, so good. If you can understand it and you don't spend the time understanding it. So the Gemara says you really failed. Well, let me not. I'll just quote the pasuk. Ves poel Hashem lo yabitu umase yadav lo ra'u. You have an opportunity to understand the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't do so. And this is hard, meaning it's math, and not everybody's a math person. But if you're a math person and you don't follow through with understanding it, so you really missed an opportunity of seeing Hashem. And the Gemara says that's a real missed opportunity. How do we know that it's a mitzvah for a person to do so? Now, mitzvah over here, the Gemara could be using the word a little bit loosely, meaning what mitzvah in the Torah are you fulfilling? Although we could answer very simply, it's Yedias Hashem, knowing God, right? The Rambam writes in the beginning of Sotei Torah that Yedias Hashem, to know a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, which is its own discussion. But to know a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Yisodei HaTorah, so that is a function of Anochi Hashem. That's the first of the Aseret HaDibros. So maybe the Gemara over here means that when it says it's a mitzvah, meaning maybe in the context of Yedias Hashem, knowing God. So if it is a mitzvah to know and to understand Tkufos HaMazalos, Shenemo Shmatem Asisim Ki Chachmas Emovinas Chem Leinei HaAmim. Ezu Chachma Avinas Shehi Leinei HaAmim. Meaning, in what way do we have intellectual prowess where everyone looks at us and says, wow, they're really smart people. Harez Omer Chishav Tkufos HaMazalos. This is Tkufos HaMazalos. Right? Do you know, historically, before anyone really understood planets and the solar system and the thing called the Earth revolving around the sun, not the other way around, so we had such a handle on astronomy, and astrology as well, but we had such a handle on astronomy that we set a calendar up in the 3rd century, right? Meaning us, the Jewish people. We set up a calendar in the 3rd century where we aligned the solar and the lunar calendar. We knew both of them, right, to a fraction of a second, that we were able to align the two together. It's obviously something where we've had historically, right, real cognitive prowess on that topic. And the Gemara says that's the pasuk of Ki Hi Chachmaschem Uvinaschem Le'enei Hamim. Other nations look at you and say, "Wow, that was pretty impressive. How did you do that?" Back to the Melachos of Shabbos at Tzvi. We're talking now about hunting. Tanur Rabbanan Atzad Chilazon Va'Potzer Nechay V'Lachas. Trapping the Chilazon. I encourage you today. If you have a chance, look at Rabbi Kornfeld's website. It's like a thesis today. It's really long, but this is the Gemara that talks about now the Chilazon, right? The Chilazon is making a comeback. A lot of people now are wearing tzitzis with the blue dye on it, which was. Oh, right, this, wow. Wow, I didn't realize I'm walking advertisement today. Okay, there's a scholar in residence also about the Chilazon. This daf Ayin Hei and Shabbos, is one of those dafim that have a lot of source material regarding what the Chilazon actually is. Don't look for me to discuss it right now, because I won't. But just know that the Gemara over here, the Tosfos over here, all give us hints in terms of what the Chilazon is. And it's part of trying to piece together what the chilazon actually is. Hatzad, so Tana Rabbanan Hatzad chilazon va'apotzer nechay v'alachas. So if you trap the chilazon on Shabbos and you squeeze it out, because why do we want the chilazon? Right, we can call it a fish, we can call it a snail, you call it whatever you want. I mean, we're not 100% sure what it is. Okay, we have a reasonable suggestion in terms of what it is nowadays. But let's be honest, we don't really know. We don't fully know. So you call it a fish, call it a snail, whatever the case is. If you hunt it on Shabbos and you squeeze it out, you're only going to be chayv one carbon chatas for doing so on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda amar chayv shtayim. And now Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be chayv two carbon chatasis. In other words, there are two malachas involved. Shayi Rabbi Yehuda amar p'tziya b'chlal disha. Because when you squeeze it out, what are you doing? You're extracting the inside from what's inside and taking it out. Similar to the Malacha of Dash. Same, says Rav Yehuda. Meaning, what's the Malacha of Dash? It's taking the kernel and squeezing it out from the chaff. Right? I described it just a couple days ago. Meaning, I cut the kernels from the ground. I cut the wheat from the ground, but I still have the kernels of wheat, which are inside the chaff. And what they do is you exert a tremendous amount of pressure on the chaff so that the kernel just kind of pops out. Here, too, I'm exerting pressure on the chilazon so that the blood actually comes out. So Amru lo, ein psia b'chlal disha. So they said to Rav Yehuda, no, we disagree. We don't think that psia is included in disha. So in other words, the only thing you're going to be chayiv is seda, is hunting on Shabbos, but not the malacha of dash. Amru rav amai tamad rabban and kesar v'ein disha ala gedule karka. So the Gemara says, and what's behind the chachamim is the following. Of course they subscribe to the Malach of Disha, but they limit the Malach of Disha to something which is vegetable, right? Something that grows out of the ground. The Chilazon is animal, not vegetable, and so therefore there's no Malach of Dash when it comes to an animal. Now, when you're squeezing the blood out of the Chilazon, I'm sure all of you are thinking this, aren't you killing the Chilazon? And isn't killing an animal one of the Malachas on Shabbos? And so why does the Gemara not count that as one of the malachas that you're violating? Gemara's next question. So why aren't we talking about violating the malacha of killing? I'm Rav Yochanan, Shepatzo Meis. So the Gemara is, well, the first answer of the Gemara is where you squeeze it after it died. Rav Amar Afilotem Shepatzo Chai. So the Gemara says, no. Let's even talk about why you're squeezing while it's alive. Misasek hu etzel netilas neshama. So the Gemara says, well, you're a misasek. Now, it's just a couple short days ago where we dealt with the topic of misasek. This doesn't really seem to fit in with the definition of misasek as we saw a couple days ago, where misasek is you don't know what you're doing. Here you know exactly what you're doing. Right. So we're going to move on to that next point in just a moment. That's the next line of the Gemara. Here, misasek, we don't have to take the Gemara super literally over here. This is not me talking, this is Tosfos talking. I'm just saying over Tosfos. Misasek over here in the context of a Gemara is basically, it's a davashen miskaven. Meaning, I'm not intending to kill the chilazon. I just simply want to extract the blood from inside. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, and this probably is your next thought, so the Gemara says, yeah, but it's inevitable. meaning I know that my intent is not to kill the chila zone, but rather just simply to get the blood out of the chila zone. I didn't want it to die. The Gemara says, but so what? It's inevitable. The Gemara says, it's not that I didn't intend for the animal to die. The Gemara says, it's more than that. I don't want the animal to die. Meaning that the blood that's extracted from the animal while it's alive, it's far superior than having extracted blood out of it after it's dead. And so therefore, I don't even want it to die. So it's not, let's not call it a psik resha, let's call it, okay, this is where it's going to get a little fuzzy, but let's call it a psik resha de lo nichale. Meaning this is something where it's not only I'm not intended in the consequence, I don't even want the consequence of the animal dying, and to that the Gemara says, now it's fine. Gets to the topic of psik resha de lo nichale, it's an in-depth discussion to be had another time. You know what we're going to actually do it more in depth when we get to Ksufas, which is a short 3 years from now. Not even 2 years from now. When we get to Ksufas, the beginning of Ksufas, Davav, that in that area we talk about the topic of Psik Resha Delo Nichalei. Okay, and if I'm correct, by the way, Tosfos quotes our Gemara right over here. Okay, in the meantime, however, okay, that's correct. Okay, Hashochta, we're up to the Malach of Shechita. Shochem Mishumai, Chayef. Why Chayef? Because of Shechita. Meaning, one of the 39 Malachas and Shabbos is Shechting an animal. And you're Chayef because? So, Shochem Mishumai, so Chayef, Rav Amar Mishum Tzaveya. Well, Rav says because you're dying. Now, I know that sounds funny. And the Gemara is going to make this point in just a moment. Meaning that when I Shecht an animal, you know what's going to happen? A lot of blood's going to come out. And it's going to dye the area in which I just cut. So, you're Chayef because of Tzaveya. Now that's a strange suggestion of Rav because it kind of seems like we're missing the whole point. Right? And why are you chayv in the malach of shochet? Is it not because you just killed an animal? Well,
because you don't have a
temple. Well, I know what I'm saying is overly simplified, but what does Rav mean when he says you're chayv because of tzaveya? And oh, by the way, isn't tzaveya its own malacha? Okay. So so stay tuned. So Rav Amar Mishum Tzaveya, Shmuel Amar Mishum Tzil Sacham. Now Shmuel says because you're killing the animal. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, sorry. So Mishum Tzil Sacham. So the Gemara says Mishum Tzaveya in Mishum Tzil Sacham Lo. And the Gemara here just can't even understand. Rav, what do you mean? You're chayav when you kill because of the malach of Tzaveya. What about the malach? What about the explanation of nitzilas neshama? Ema af mishum tzaveya. So the Gemara finally clarifies. Yeah, you know what? Of course the Rav agrees with Shmuel. When you kill an animal, the malacha is nitzilas neshama. But in addition to that, it's also going to be tzaveya as well. Amar Rav milsa darmi ema ba milsa adalalaisi dari basrai velechu alai. So Rav says, let me explain this a little bit better, because what I don't want is I don't want later generations, like us, to look back at what Rav says and to start laughing at what Rav says. In other words, you got to really think what you're saying through so that when you hear it again later on, you're like, I cannot believe I said that. That's the silliest thing in the world. Which, by the way, was when I started taping the daf, it really made me sensitive to that. It doesn't prevent me from saying things which later on I listen to it, I laugh, and I say, I cannot believe I said that. But if you really think about what you're saying and you play it back again, it really forces you to really think through what you're saying. So that's basically what Rav is doing over here. So ve'a b'may nichale, look, it's true that you're dying, but that can't be just in of itself an explanation of why it's a malacha, because it has to be that there's some purpose to it. What's the purpose? So nicha de litvas be'a be'sashkita dama ki hecha de'lechze inish v'leisuv lizbenei minei. It makes the animal more marketable. Meaning, when I shecht an animal, and all that blood comes out, and it stains the area of the neck, so now I take it into the marketplace, and now people see, oh yeah, look at that. In other words, there's an animal with fresh blood right on its neck, oh, it just received a shechita. It makes the animal more marketable, and therefore it's something that you want. In other words, you want the area of the neck to be stained with blood, and that's why Rav says, in addition to the malacha of Nitilas Neshama, it's also a violation of the Malacha of Tzaveya.
Dying process, dying should be permanent or could be even temporary, it's called dying.
In other words, normally by Malachas, our definition of Malacha is permanent.
Right, so, I mean, this is not permanent.
Okay, it's a fair question.
Not striking the final blow.
It is dying, staying interchangeably.
Right, staining also, but there has to be some permanence to it. So this is going to be our only correction of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah says here's the 39 malachos, and then the Mishnah gave us a list of 39. So on this one occasion, we're going to actually pencil out, erase one of the malachos, and replace it. And the reason why the Gemara is about to do that is because we're talking about tanning the hides. So you salt the hides. After you tear the hide off the animal, you want to remove all the excess liquid from the hide. So you salt the hide. It's part of the processing. And then the Mishnah says, ma'abed, which is essentially the same thing. So Rav Yochanan v'Reish Lakish Amar Tavayo apikhan minayu v'ayel sirtut. So what you're going to do is you're going to take out one of them, meaning either molech or ma'abed, because it's the same. You take out one of them, and you replace it with sirtut. What's sirtut? Scoring. Meaning that what they would do with the hides is after they would, you have hides, you would actually make grooved indentations into the hide to like make lines, especially if you're about to write on the parchment. Right? You have sirtut. And so that's going to be a malacha on Shabbos. Good. So that's the only one where we're going to adjust in the Mishnah. Take out either molech or ma'abed and replace sirtut as one of the 39 malachas. Salting meat on Shabbos. Now, I know we're talking about salting hides. But again, we're pushing the envelope. How far is the malacha going to extend? Salting meat on Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes that you would be chai. Rava says, no, that's not correct. Because we're talking about food. Meat, of course, is food. So there is no ibud when it comes to ochlin. And even the original statement of Rava bar Rav Huna, when he says that salting is a malacha of ibud, salting meat, he was talking not salt to taste. He was talking about throwing on a lot of salt on the meat. In the good old days before refrigeration, you know how they preserved their meat? They put salt on it. And not a little bit of salt. In other words, they would douse it in salt. And that salt would be an extra preservative. And then what they would do is that when they wanted to cook the meat later on, they would wash the salt off, they rinse the salt off, and that is how they kept meat. So when we said that salting is a malacha even on meat, even that position, which the Gemara did not accept, that was only talking about putting a lot of salt on to preserve the meat. But in other words, in your house, you don't turn your food into wood, meaning you put a little bit of salt on to taste, but you won't throw on an excessive amount of salt.
You're not concerned about the idea of the salt to get the extract the blood from pressure in the meat?
Right. Right. I don't know. In other words,
yeah, that's a more serious thing.
It's a fright. But what malacha would that be? Extracting, maybe? Dosh? Okay, maybe.
Why the salting is then not part of tanning?
It is part of tanning. The Gemara, in fact, says it's so part of tanning that what you're going to do, basically, is you're going to take those two malachas, you're going to blend it into one. Salting and tanning are the same. And then what you're going to do in order to get to the number 39, because you know you need to get to the number 39, is you're going to add sirtut, which is scoring.
Right, this is what
I
accepted.
Yes, serving is after the fact. Correct.
If I smooth down between the pillars, in other words, now the way Rashi describes it is that I smooth the floor down between the pillars. So you're chayv mishum ha-machek. Now, Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat because we're talking about smoothing down the floor, and we already discussed that earlier in our perek. You're smoothing down the floor. That's a malacha of bona, of building. So how the Gemara over here says ma-machek, Tosfos is bothered by Rashi's pshat. Anyway, we go on. Amar Bichia Baraba Gimel Dvarim Sachli Rav Ashi Mishmei Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi. Three things that I heard. Number one, a megara roshe klunsus b'shabbos chayv mishum ha-chatech. Tips of sticks. I smooth it out so that it's a particular height. So that's a malacha of mechatech. I'm a marach retia b'shabbos chayv mishum ha-machek. Taking a very thick ointment and rubbing it on a wound on Shabbos, that's a mamachek. Hamasasas is seven b'shabbos chayv mishum ha-machek bevatish. And if I have a stone and I chisel a stone on Shabbos, so that's makeh b'patur, just putting the final blow in. I'm Rabbi Shimon Mekisma, I'm Rabbi Shimon Malakish Hatsar Sura Bekli. If I make a design on a utensil, Hamanafech Bekli Zchuchis, blowing glass, Chai B'Shem Makeh B'Patish, both of those are Makeh B'Patish. And just to finish up today, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm on the Shakel Akufe. Megli Mechai B'Shem Makeh B'Patish. I have threads coming out of my shirt, and I cut off those threads so that my shirt now is a finished and even shirt, or any garment for that matter, that's Makeh B'Patish. Behind the Mila, the Kapit Alayu, obviously I have to be Makeh, meaning obviously I have to not want those threads over there. And by cutting them off, now I've now finished the shirt. That's the malacha of Makeh B'Patish. Okay. I know we have a little bit more in order to finish the daf. We'll obviously finish it tomorrow. We'll stop over here. Learning we do this morning should be for Ilui Nish.